we turn back to the book of Job. The study of Job, if you have ever done it, the study of Job is synonymous oftentimes with the issue of suffering. You well know that, don't you? Someone thinks about their difficulties in this world and their suffering, and sometimes we automatically remember Job and all the things that he went through. I think that we ought to keep that before us because Job had tasted of what this world has to offer. Probably more than any man beyond Christ who was perfect, who was the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, a man acquainted with suffering. He was acquainted with suffering, and he knew all things of this world as we do, yet he without sin. But Job, by faith and the work of God in his heart, had come to this understanding, and George Heinrich Handel had saw it too. And he writes Messiah, Handel's Messiah, and how I love that. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I encourage you to just pop it up on the on your phone and just play it and listen to it. Mahalia Jackson sings it beautifully. Some of you don't know Mahalia Jackson, but she's a wonderful lady of a couple of generations ago that sang beautifully. I like the one she sang too. His eye is upon the sparrow. You remember that song? I love that one too. But I know that my Redeemer liveth. And Job, listen to where he has come, having faced the world and all of its sin and all of it has dealt out to him, and having faced the reality of death and sin, listen now to where Job comes to. Somebody said when you're at the bottom, you only got one way to look. Up. I've been there before, haven't you? When you're at the bottom, you've only got one way to look up. And that's upward. And that's what Job does. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Don't you like that song? That's beautiful, isn't it? When we come to Jesus and after we've tasted this world and we see what it has to offer us, then we turn to the Lord. And this is where Job comes to. Oh, that my words were written, Job 19, verse 23 and following, that great section of Job's proclamation of his Redeemer living. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. That they were, that with an iron stylus and lead, they were engraved in the rock forever. Almost sounds like a tombstone, doesn't it? The memorial of a tombstone. And this is exactly what has been done. The words of Job and the words of the faith and the hope of the future of resurrection are recorded in God's Word. And Job, one of the oldest books of the Old Testament, probably the oldest book of the Old Testament, probably the first book written in the Old Testament, not Genesis. Who wrote Genesis? Exodus, Leviticus, Moses. And we believe that this predates Moses. So it's kind of interesting. And we know that by the use of how Job refers to where he lives. It's not Ur, but it's Uz. And that's the old names for Arabia in that area. Isn't that interesting how you just see little things about the names? And this is then what he says, the Word of God written. And this is where Job comes to. As for me, he's lived through life. He's seen death. He's seen all that the world has to offer. He's suffered it. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last, He will take His stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold, and with my whom my eyes will see, and not another. My heart faints within me. And when he thinks about it, I like that expression, he comes to the end of it and he says, when I think about it, it just is too high. It's almost too much for me to think about what the future of the believer is. So we've seen Job has said. He has talked to us about the suffering of this world. He has, in a pronounced and most poignant way, shown us the death of this world and the difficulties of it in sin. By one man, Adam, came sin into this world. You remember? By one man's sin came into this world and thus death upon all mankind. So by what? By one man, the man Christ Jesus, shall all be made alive. Think about what you hold as a Christian this morning in light of the resurrection. That which the devil did to us and that which we inherited royally and covenantally from Adam in our sin was reversed in the resurrection of Christ. And we find that amazing. And Job, think about this old book. How much light did he have? Well, he had the presence of the Spirit and the presence of God with him. But think about where he was in history, predating where we are. And yet he comes to this interesting conclusion by faith. I know that my Redeemer lives. Think about this ancient. He says, I know, as for me, I know my Redeemer lives. And my dear friends, as he looks at this idea of the Redeemer, and at the last he shall take his stand on the earth, and even after my flesh is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes will see, and not another. My heart faints within me. Did Job have a hope of the resurrection? Yeah, Job seemed to have an understanding not only of his death, but that his soul would depart and go be with the Lord, and he would stand before God without his body, but that there would come a time, what? That he would have a Redeemer, that there would be someone who would be his advocate, and that one from heaven who was going to be his advocate would undertake for him and would redeem him, and in his flesh he would see God, and not another, and with my own eyes. I like that expression. Not another, with my own eyes I shall behold him. And he says, and when I think about it, my heart faints within me. And think about the great teaching of these number of verses. Well, the idea of a Redeemer was very popular in this day. It somewhat is in our day. It's somewhat like a custodian. It's a custodial care, an intercessor, one who vindicates us. Those are all names. A mediator is another word. We are very familiar with that in the Christian language. In terms of Jesus Christ, who is our mediator, there is only one who stands in the stead between us and God the Father, and that's the man Christ Jesus. He is our mediator. He's the one that represents us and defends us. And this is what Job is talking about. A Redeemer was one who undertook in one stead when one was helpless. We know that Ruth and Naomi, you remember they had lost in the book of Ruth all that they had had. And you remember that by the time they come back to Israel, what has happened? Not only has Naomi's husband died, but so has Ruth's husband died. And they're both widows. And remember they glean in the field. And remember the Old Testament scriptures that if you harvest the field and you realize that you've left some in the field, what? Don't go back and get it. Leave it for the poor and those who glean in the field. Naomi and Ruth had lost all that they had. All they had was the memory of their inheritance and what they once enjoyed. And here is Naomi and Ruth trying to make a go of it back home again. And my dear friends, who comes along while Ruth is gleaning in the field? Boaz comes along, and he is down the line in terms of her family. And guess what? Boaz recognizes that he has a responsibility to Ruth and to Naomi. And what does he do? He becomes their Redeemer kinsman according to the law. And what does he do, number one, as the Redeemer kinsman? By the law, he was responsible to provide for them and to take them in. And that's what Boaz did. He had his inheritance and his wealth, and he took Naomi and Ruth in as his own. And he provided for them in every way. has not Jesus Christ come as our mediator and provided all that we need? I like what Paul says in Ephesians and Colossians, that we are complete in Him. All that we have needed, Thy hand hath provided what? Great is Thy faithfulness. The Redeemer Kinsman provides all that is needed. And has not our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, provided what we have needed all of our lives spiritually, the utmost thing that we need, once you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but in Christ you have been made alive. All that we need is found ultimately in Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you as well. And so not only did the Redeemer Kinsman provide, but the Redeemer Kinsman also had to pay any outstanding debts. Now that sounds Christian, doesn't it? The Redeemer Kinsman, if he undertook by the law to take Ruth and Naomi in, if Ruth and Naomi had any obligations, any debts, guess who had to pay it? The Redeemer Kinsman. Boaz did. And my dear friends, is not our Redeemer Kinsman the one who has bought us back? Remember that language? Who was it, Hosea? Who was it that was called to go and buy his wife that had been sold into slavery? Buy her back? That was the idea of the Redeemer too. The Lord God says to the prophet, what? You go and she squanders her relationship and she squanders the life and she goes out into the world and she becomes a slave. And then all of a sudden God goes to the prophet and says what? You go to the court, you go to the marketplace and you buy her back. And my dear friends, we said, well, that's incredible. But that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done for us. He has bought us back. We are once, remember Paul who says, you have been bought with a price. You are not your own. That's what that means. Is that the Redeemer Kinsman, our Lord Jesus Christ, has paid your debts. He has paid that which you owe. And someone once came to me and said, Pastor, I'm just so worried. I'm not sure whether I'm going to heaven or not. I said, well, have you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes. Have you asked Him to forgive you of your sins? Yes. I've prayed that and I work on that, but I fail so many times and I'm just afraid that He doesn't accept me and that when I go to heaven, I'm going to have to answer before God. Well, you are going to have to answer before God for your life. But let me tell you this, when you get to heaven, if Jesus is your Redeemer Kinsman and He is your mediator, guess what? He is not going to ask to be paid for sins that have already been paid for by His Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that the beauty of this table? Sins that have already been forgiven. Sins that have already been paid for. Will He ever ask for them to be paid doubly? Will our God ever ask to be satisfied twice? No, the satisfaction of the death of His Son is enough for the payment. The Redeemer Kinsman paid the debt that was owed. He paid your debt, my debt. And we've been justified in the Lord Jesus Christ through His payment of that debt. The Redeemer Kinsman has paid the price for us. But dear friends, the beautiful thing about the third element of the Redeemer Kinsman is this. Is that the Redeemer Kinsman protects against the enemy. He is a defender of those whom He takes in. And Ruth and Boaz, of Ruth and Naomi are His trust now. And therefore He guards them and protects them. And my dear friends, that is what we see in Scripture, is that if there are any enemies of those who have been taken in, who have lost everything, and they're just vulnerable to the world, they've lost their inheritance, they've lost their name, they've lost their wealth, they've lost everything, and they're just at the mercy of the world. And then the Redeemer undertakes for them. He not only provides, He not only pays their debts, but, dear friends, He goes out against their enemies. And the Redeemer Kinsman protects them from the enemy. And my dear friends, don't you love the resurrection words of the Lord Jesus Christ as He appears to John? I was dead. I am Jesus who was who was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. And what? I hold the keys to what? I hold the keys to death and to Hades. Did not the Redeemer kinsman, our Lord Jesus Christ, go out against the devil? And did he not conquer the enemy of our souls? Did he not destroy the power that Satan had over you? And have we not in Christ victory? And we struggle with sin, yes, every day. But dear friends, one of the most important things that you have as a Christian is that the enemy, his bond has been broken in your life through Christ and His resurrection for you. And the Redeemer kinsman goes out against the enemy. And when Jesus went to Calvary, who was there at Calvary? Well, Satan was there at Calvary, the great enemy of our souls. If you are the Son of God, why don't you just come down off that cross and save us and yourself too? Do you hear Him? He's always had that kind of voice. He's always had that way about Him, thinking about Himself. Very selfish. Very self-centered. Not caring about other people's souls. Let that not be found in you, the work of Satan. He looks out for himself. And he comes to Adam and Eve and he says, has God really said? Doesn't he put great doubt in our mind and heart? The enemy of our souls, the Redeemer kinsman, goes out against him. He shall bruise thee upon the heel, but you shall crush him upon the head. Foretold by promise in Genesis 3:15 that would be a great battle. A battle between God and Satan. And listen, I want you to understand one thing. A lot of people think that the battle between God and Satan are between co-equals. Remember that that is not true. God is in heaven and sovereign above all things. And who is Satan? Who is Lucifer? He was an angel created by God. He was a fallen angel created, not like God. And yes, he has had great power over his children as he's cast to the earth. Where have you been? Remember Job? Where have you been? The first chapter of Job. I've been roaming about the earth. What? Roaming about the earth. And Peter tells us very clearly, he roams about the earth like a roaring lion. What is he doing? Seeking whom he may devour. My dear friends, that's the nature of this beautiful earth. And I love when the astronauts finally landed on the moon in 69. And as I remember Jim Irwin, we met him in Michigan, and he said, you can't believe it. He said, from the moon, everything is just so quiet. And he said, all of a sudden, one day, I just saw the earth rise above the sunset of the moon, and here comes the earth and all of its beauty. And he said, I've never seen anything so beautiful in all my life is the beauty of the earth. But remember, with regard to the spiritual nature of the earth, not only was the place where man was created and he was given to be steward, but who was cast to the earth? Satan and his angels. And so there has been a great battle. And the resurrection that we celebrate today in our Lord Jesus Christ, we celebrate as the Redeemer kinsman who has broken the dominion and the power and the back of that rule of death over us and all right that he has over us. And my dear friends, praise be to God for that, because the world we live in today is extremely, extremely evil and demonic. As a matter of fact, I believe that we have grown very accustomed to the demonic and that it has almost become the ordinary rather than the exception in our life today and in our world. I don't think many see it very clearly, the spiritual reality of what the world is today. But dear friends, the earth is a great battlefield spiritually. But not only spiritually, think about all the lives that are being affected around the earth today by the dominion of Satan. I want to say to you, the answer is not in Washington, D.C. It is not in the politicians we elect. Dear friends, I want you to know it's not in a program or a scheme or World United Nations. I want you to know that the answer to the savage butchery and death and misery that the world faces today, the remedy is found in the Redeemer kinsman, Jesus Christ. That is why you as Christians should celebrate this day. You should celebrate what you have in Christ. And what does this man Job say? He says one more thing. I know that my Redeemer lives. Do you know that the Lord died for you and that He's your Redeemer kinsman, paying the price for you, providing for you and undertaking for you the warfare and the battle, and that it's won in Him? Do you know that? Remember 1 John chapter 5, these things I write to you who believe in order that you may know that you have eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you know that all the means of grace that God has given you by His Son are means whereby that you might know that you have eternal life? Oh, dear friends, don't you ever be satisfied spiritually until you're able to tell someone, I know that my Redeemer lives. Are you able to say that this morning? I know my Redeemer lives. I am persuaded, Paul says, that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. Do you have that kind of relationship with God? And you can say that in your heart. All that I am and all that I ever hope to be, I've committed to the Lord. And I know that He's my trust and He's going to do it right in His Son, Jesus Christ. Are you able to say, I know? For there is nothing that shall be able to separate us from God. Neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to present, nor things to come, nor any other created thing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that a great, bold statement by Paul? And then Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be home with the Lord. And he says it so emphatically. And my dear friends, how does one come to that assurance? Hold your assurance in Christ as very precious to your own heart, because it must be an awful, awful heart, an awful struggle as to be a Christian and not be assured where your heart lay and where your salvation lay. Don't you think that would be an awful struggle? To not have assurance in your heart of who you are as a Christian and where you're going? Don't let Satan pull you back because of the things that you go through in this world. Don't you let him do that. Don't do it, because he can put doubt in your mind. Has he ever put doubt in your mind? Listen, I know, because I experience it all the time. So I don't want to come to you as one superior. I experience it all the time, just a little doubt. Lord, man, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have done that. Or, Lord, I messed up again. You know, am I really a Christian? Do you ever have those little doubts and those little words? And my dear friends, you know, every time if I look on this side of it and I find that doubt, but when I look on the other side from God's perspective, I see that His love is complete, isn't it? For those who are in Christ, we make many mistakes. Amen? But we know that God has provided for us the opportunity to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Has the Lord ever rejected us when we ask for forgiveness? No, in no wise I will cast out the despised and brokenhearted. Those in contrite heart I will not turn away. My dear friends, look what you have in Christ. You have a kinsman redeemer. You have an advocate. You have a mediator of one who undertakes for you in the very stuff of this life. My dear friends, this life is not very easy. I assure you it's not very easy. I kept saying to myself a few years ago, you know, next week's going to be a little better. You know, next year I'm going to have a little bit better year. In this world, I learned something. But my dear friends, if it's not one problem spiritually, what? It's not one spiritual problem, it's another. Seem to go from one thing to another. One friend dies, and another friend dies. All of a sudden, the disease is present. All of a sudden, this world dishes it out one more time. What I want to say to you, you should ask the question, when is this going to stop? You should have an answer. You know what is going to stop. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this bondage of the flesh? Praise God, the victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul had come to, and that's what Job had come to. Think about this ancient man had come to the realization that he had a mediator, that he had a Savior. Did he know Jesus personally? No, but he knew the promise of God that there was one coming that was going to be his advocate, that was going to be his Redeemer kinsman, and who was going to undertake him in the loss and the sin of this world. By one man, sin and death came into the world. By the man Christ Jesus, life came, the mediator, the great Redeemer kinsman. And my dear friends, listen to what he says finally. Not only do I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand on the earth. I don't know whether Job understood about the advent of Christ, of coming to the earth, but what does he say about this Redeemer kinsman? He says, this Redeemer kinsman is going to come to this earth. And he's going to deal with this earth. And he will stand, and he will come, and he will stand upon the earth. I don't know how much Job understood about the advent of Christ and about his incarnation. But one thing he knew is that he had a sense spiritually that his Redeemer kinsman was what? Was coming to him and going to save him and going to undertake for him. And that it's right there in Scripture. And it amazes me in this ancient Scripture that this man by faith, he says, as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last, he will stand, take his stand on the earth. And then he speaks of his own death in verse 26. Even after my skin is destroyed. You know, he's dead. He's run his course. He's in his grave. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God. Think about that. Someone says that when you die, where do you go as a Christian? To be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. Somebody once asked me where heaven was, and somebody says, oh, you know, it's those pearly gates. It's that old street of gold. It's so beautiful in heaven, rubies and emeralds and all that. So I said, no. Father, I long for them to be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory. You see, Jesus Himself is the beauty of heaven. And I pray that you will be looking forward to seeing Jesus, your Redeemer kinsman, your mediator, who is He wants you to see the glory that has been His from the beginning. And He wants you to be restored and to be with Him in that glory. I love that. And at the last, He will take His stand on the earth. And even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God. What? Man dies, it's appointed to man to die once, and then what? The judgment. Man dies, and what? His body and his soul are separated. His soul leaves his body, and the angels bear him up. The rich man died, and what? Lifted his eyes up in hell. Lazarus died and was in heaven. That is the experience that you and I will experience one way or the other. In Christ, we will be with the Lord. Yet from my flesh, I shall see God. And he says now that there's going to come a time in which this Redeemer kinsman is not only to be the caretaker of my soul, but that as he is the caretaker of my soul, that he's going to restore my flesh. Do you know that that's exactly what he's saying at the end of this? He's saying, even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God. There's going to come a day in this Redeemer that my body is going to be restored. My eyes, my hands, this physical body. And I shall see God. And I love verse 27. Whom I myself shall behold. That is me. All of me. Not some of me. I'm not going to heaven and seeing and being with the Lord partially a man. I'm not going to be a little bit of soul and maybe a little bit of body. It's going to be me. I'm going to stand before God in soul and in body and in the flesh and with my eyes. I'm going to behold God. Isn't that an incredible teaching? And I hear so many talk about today. Oh boy, you know, I just can't wait till we put off this old flesh. Man, you know, this old body, I just can't wait till we get rid of it. You know, man, we're going to be platonic and we're going to be floating spirits forever. No, 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 not so. My dear friends, our God, and Job proclaims it right here in this early book, that there will come a day when the Redeemer kinsman will not only be the caretaker of his soul, but that he shall restore soul, body, and spirit. they shall stand before God and they shall praise Him face to face. My dear friends, what an awesome teaching. My heart faints within me when I think on these things of what shall be in Christ. I'm amazed. Charles Haddon Spurgeon wrote this, and we'll come to the table. Grave, the guardian of our dust. Grave, the treasury of the skies. Every atom of thy trust rest in hope again to rise. Hark, the judgment trumpet calls. Soul, rebuild thy house of clay. Immortality, thy walls, and eternity, thy day. Oh, my dear friend, someone says, well, what about all those people died and they're dissolved in the middle of the ocean? How are they going to come back together? Atoms and that have been disseminated and you don't even know where the particles are now. How is that going to happen? And I'll say to you just by one word. Lazarus, come forth. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, the world has great difficulty with a future beyond this world. But how sad they have put all their eggs in the basket of this world. Well, all I can say, Lord, is let them enjoy it, at least for the time being. If that's your faith and that's your hope, you better go live it for all it's worth, because that's all you're going to get. Father, I pray that you would teach us as your children that there is a hope to come and there's a future. And Lord, the warning from the Old Testament prophets, they were a people who did not think about their future. Father, help us to be a people who think on our future, who think about where we're going and what our life means here now. Lord, I pray that you would lead and guide and direct us in the spirit of Job, that we can say as well, I know that my Redeemer lives. Praise be to God, He does, even today. Amen. Let's prepare our hearts for the table.
Stand and sing.
To the tomb that day, they encountered the angel of the Lord, and the angel says to to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Don't you remember the things that He told you while He was still with you in Galilee?" And then I love, and it says what? "Then they remembered the words that He had said about the things that He must suffer and die and be raised again the third day." May those precious things come to our life today as we see. I don't know about you, but as my years go by and get older, the resurrection of Christ becomes more precious to me. How about you? Those things that this table means and all that it represents in Christ and the promises that we hold by faith, my dear friends, become more real and much closer than they did before. So, my dear friends, hold precious your faith. Know what you have in Christ and trust Him and walk with Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and after breaking it, He gave it unto His disciples. And I, ministering in His name, give this bread to you in the same way. Let's pray together. Father, we come today to celebrate Your table. The great Redeemer, kinsman of our soul, who shall save us to the uttermost, who this mortality will put on immortality, and our souls shall be redeemed, and even in that day, that which we call our body shall be knit together with our soul into a body like unto the Lord's. Lord, now, that's hard for us to think about and to see and understand, but Lord, help us to remember in the day that it occurs, help us to remember through whom and by whom it has come, our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the grace of our Father in heaven and the work of His Spirit in our life. Father, bless these ordinary elements for the sacred use for which they are intended, to show forth the sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. Here we see our Redeemer kinsman, the one who saves us from this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Once you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but you have been made alive in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And Jesus says, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Redeemer kinsman, Redeemer kinsman.
After the same manner, our Lord also took the cup following the supper, and He blessed it and prayed over it and gave it to His disciples. And I, ministering in His name, give this cup to you in the same way. And Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of the sins of many. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians declares, my little children, I write these things to you concerning those who have fallen asleep in order that you might not grieve as the rest of the world that has no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and thus He will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Him. Our kinsman paying the price that we couldn't pay. Destitute in this world without hope. Lost our inheritance. Lost everything we had. And He not only defends us, provides for us, but He gives His very life in order that we might be His. Drink ye all. Well, you know the resurrection message, don't you? If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking those things which are above, where your life is hidden with Christ. And when Christ is revealed, you shall also be revealed with Him in glory. Praise be to God for His sacrifice.